another show from this trio of tenuous friends. I don't know, if it were me, I'd probably throw the towel in, but hell, I guess they'll try it again. Here's the general concept of what they will do. Ooh, they find a piece of media they want to review. Ooh, provided that it ties into the riddle purview. Ooh, so now it's time for Hey Randall Riddles Review Crew.
Hank. Honk, honk, honk.
Honk, honk. Honk, 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 honk.
Honk.
Honk, honk, honk.
Honk, 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 honk. Honk, honk.
Oh, honk, 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 honk.
I brought honk.
Honk.
Honk, riddle, riddle.
I'm honk, honk, honk.
I'm honk, honk, honk.
Honk, 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 honk. Speaking of this.
Speaking of honk.
Do you want to know something that I genuinely felt in my core? When I installed this game and I started playing for the first time.
Here's Strength. Erin bragging about her core again. Do all that yoga and all of a sudden you're core over here.
I can do like 1,000 crunches. It's amazing.
Can you do the splits?
And you know what? I think that was really cruel just then. We both know that that was incredibly mean. She's working on it. I'm working on it.
I have what doctors call Ben and Jerry's cookie dough core.
I have the same thing, but I have Beningitis, which is where I ingest Ben and Jerry's. That's how you pronounce that, right? Ingest?
Yeah. Ingest.
What were we talking about? Oh, when
My core.
The second I was a goose, my brain and my body and my heart went, oh, well, that's better. Oh, well, isn't that just, it feels a lot better. It feels like getting into a hot tub.
Yeah, there is sort of a quiet that floods over you where you're just like, it feels like you're almost in a sensory deprivation tank or something where you're like, all I have to do is flap my little wings, honk, and run, and that's it.
I will choose being a goose over a human woman.
Yeah.
7 days of the week.
Well, I mean, the nice thing about being a goose in comparison to being me is that when I'm a goose, I get to experience having a big dump truck ass, which is not something that I get in my normal life.
All that goose cake. Here's what I'll say, JPC.
And for me, it feels familiar. I go, yeah. I'm used to having an ass that won't quit.
JPC, here's what I'll say. When I was playing, between you and the goose, I noticed no difference.
That's true, yeah.
The goose is an agent of chaos, and...
What are you, my wife? Who said this several times?
The goose is chaotic neutral, which is for sure the vibe chaotic you give off. Some people think you're chaotic evil, but you're so much scarier than that. You feel nothing. It's motivated by no passion.
Today on the show, on Review Crew, welcome everyone. We are reviewing... I almost said Uncharted Goose Game.
Ooh, Tom Holland.
Nathan Drake, Uncharted Goose Game. I will now read a brief synopsis of Untitled Goose Game if you are not familiar. Okay, let's see. Untitled Goose Game takes place in the Lands Between, sometime after the destruction of the titular Elden Ring and the scattering of its shards, the Great Runes. Once graced by the ring and the Erd Tree, which symbolizes its presence, the realm is now ruled over by the demigod offspring of Queen Marika the Eternal, each possessing a shard of the ring that corrupts and taints them with power.
You're giving away so much of the game.
As tarnished, exiles from the Lands Between, who lost the ring's grace and are summoned back after the shattering, players must traverse the realm to ultimately find all the Great Runes, restore the Elden Ring and become the Elden Lord. Now you can honk, you can flap, you can duck.
You can pick up little cans with your beak.
And can I say, in the first hour of me playing this, I died 500 times.
You have
violent.
You have no idea. You two have no idea. The absolute mind fuck that happens to a person when they play 14 hours of Elden Ring and then play 3 hours of Untitled Goose Game. It is, you could not switch those vibes harder.
It's the bookends of gaming. I went, last night I went over to Casey's place to see his new place he moved into.
Oh, nice.
And he had Elden Rings up on the screen while he was giving me a little tour.
Why wouldn't he?
And I said, how long have you been playing this? And he goes, let's see here. It came out last Thursday. So it's maybe like 7 days from this recording. And from when it came out. And he goes, 40 hours? And I'm like, that's a full-time fucking job. In the last week, this was a full-time job.
I do think that the only answer, if someone asks you how long you play, have you been playing Elden Ring, the only answer is, how long you got?
I played it so long, it's going to take a long time for me to explain to you how long I played it.
This is not about Elden Ring, but I have been playing a lot of Elden Ring. Elden Ring is very good. It's brutal. It's my first Dark Souls game that I've ever played, and you die a lot. You die a lot, and it's like timing is very important, and you have to like roll a bunch to like avoid attacks. So it's a pretty brutal game, which was great because going into Untitled Goose Game, you can't die. Even when they catch you, all they do is kind of shoo you away a little bit.
Yeah, you're kind of stunned for a minute. I do think...
It felt wonderful.
I do think kind of what you're doing with Elden Rings here, Japes, I do feel like the goose, the titular goose, would be very fun to play in other games. So like if in Mario Kart, you could have the goose, and like one person controls the goose, and it like bites onto the back of somebody's cart and like drags them away... Or in Breath of the Wild, you can be a goose and just like bite people's butts or something. I do think it would be a fun Easter egg to put that goose in every game ever made.
Let me ask you two question about the goose. Did you guys finish the game?
No.
Well, here's my journey.
Oh, okay. Oh, she's a yes or no question, but let's hear about your journey.
She's holding up Journey's Greatest Hits on CD.
My journey, remember in the last game that we played, I got really bad motion sickness and I had to go lay down?
Yes.
Super liminal.
And so I said, okay, I'm going to play on my computer this time instead.
Okay.
Because I feel like the motion sickness will be a lot better.
Sure.
And then the controllers were impossible to use.
Yeah, I would say, yeah.
So I got like 45 minutes into me playing and then I had to watch the rest of the game online because I couldn't stand another second of it. I was swearing. Playing this game and swearing that it wouldn't let me pick it up.
You're playing, were you playing with like a trackpad and keyboard?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, weird.
That's okay. It was horrible. That. And I was like, I cannot believe I've married rage to this game. I should be in trouble. Like, I should have to pay them more money about how angry I am. But once I was watching it, I was like, oh, I can see how this would be better.
There's a moment during me playing, because Gemma was sitting next to me watching, and there's a moment where I said, do you mind going in the other room? And she goes, did you need something? I go, no, I'm just about to smash the TV. And she's like, Addle, come on. I'm like, I am beyond my limits.
You're like 40. And you're like, I'm actually about to have a tantrum, babe, and I'm going to need some privacy.
I'm going to punch a wall, you know, like Adam Driver does in that movie, like a totally normal person does.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is like, it had an option for two-player.
Yeah.
What is it when it's two player?
So that's where I was leading to because I beat the game, and then afterwards I played two player with Mariah because I was like, let's try this two player out. Two player is so much easier. You just have two geese.
Oh, so someone can distract someone else.
Yeah.
Oh, that's way more
fun.
That's
incredible.
Dude, it was so fun to play this two player. You know how when you're like a little, because basically here's the game. The game is you're a goose and you're just wrecking havoc through this little town. And
no,
you're
what
just,
about all the rings? Come
all
on.
All the rings as well.
Drag a ring into a volcano.
You have to like pick things up and flap your wings and honk and like do little puzzles. And you have a checklist, a task list, and that's what you have to solve for each one. And a lot of it is distracting a person by like picking up an item, putting it somewhere. They go to pick it up. You run around them and pick something else up. When you have two geese, we just attacked the world with such fervor and ferocity that nothing could stop us. Because it's a lot of times we're just double teaming the poor farmer who's just like trying to guard it. And we're like, fuck you, man. Here's your pumpkin. Here's your carrot. I take your radio. I take your key. I push you in a lake. Like we were just going ham. And it was like playing the game on super easy mode.
I'm so jealous. I see. Yeah. If I could have been a goose with a friend, with a buddy.
Same.
It would have been even more luxurious.
If you're on the fence about playing this game, or if you just want to give this game a try, I highly, highly recommend you do the two-player couch co-op. I found it... I wish I would have known that, because like Mariah and our buddy Harrison, Aaron, you know Harrison, were watching me play this game.
I went to France with that man once.
Yeah, we all went to France with that man. Or at least Denmark. But... they were watching me play it, and that whole time, if I had clicked the two player and known that it was just adding an extra goose to the game, I think it would have been so much more fun to play with two people.
So when it's solo, it's Untitled Goose Game. When it's two person, it is Untitled Geese Game.
Geese Game, yeah, GEME, like meme.
Perfect. Uh huh. Like GameStop.
Here's the thing. I felt, and maybe it was because I have been playing so much Elden Ring, but I found this game absolutely delightful. I thought it was, I loved the music. I love how when someone caught you, the music got very stressful. I love the little like the little lightning bolt things coming out of like the goose when he's like scared, or like the little squiggles where he's like, ah, get away, get away. And God, I just love how fucking cocky this little goose is.
If you didn't think I was, thought it was delightful when one of the tasks is make the old man fall on his bum, then you are like so mistaken. Make the old man fall on his bum? That's something the goose had to do that day.
That's what I was born to do.
Not only is that so funny, but that's on someone's to-do list. You know your to-do list? It's like get groceries, like call the doctor, make the old man fall on his bum. I would jump out of bed with a song in my heart if that was on my to-do list as a human.
That, I mean, that's true. If every day I woke up and wanted to make the old man fall on his bum, I mean, that's a good day. That's not a day wasted.
It's like
you know what that
rhyme
is? Purpose. That's someone who knows their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I did come up with, I thought long and hard about, it's called Untitled Goose Game. And so I gave it a title after playing it. And I decided the title I think is most befitting is Honk If You're Bully.
Honk If You're Bully. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Because this goose is a little fucking bully. And it's very fun to just wreak havoc on the entire town. I will say I played this game, I think it first came out in like 2020 or early in the pandemic.
Sure,
I believe.
Maybe.
So I remember playing with Gemma for a couple hours when it very first came out, like the first weekend it came out or something, and we were giggling and laughing. It was like the best thing ever. This time I will say I had a lot of fun, but as it went on, I got very frustrated because I think I couldn't, I tried to avoid looking up how to do anything.
Yeah.
And there was a certain part, I don't know if I should just say it now.
I think if you're listening to this, we are going to spoil, this game is kind of a puzzle game, and we're going to talk about some of the puzzles.
So it's very, I will say, I'm someone who, I don't know if I've ever told you two about this. Every day of my life for the last, I don't know, 30 years, I wake up and I write a handwritten list, to-do list.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And it takes up a full pad of paper, like a full page of, not pad, a full page of paper. And so the idea of having a written list and crossing stuff off physically is like the most satisfying thing in the world to me. But there's a part where you have to swap out a fake goose with a ribbon for you and make the owner put the ribbon on you. I was at that for 45 minutes because every time I took the goose's place, the woman would drop the ribbon on me. She wouldn't put it on me so I wore it. She would drop it on top of me so it hit the floor, and then she'd go about her day. And so I was like screaming. Soon after that, I did have to quit the game because I was like, my blood pressure was going crazy.
Adel, do you ever have moments,
yes,
like when you're experiencing something like that in a video game where you put it into the context of your life? Like, you spent 45 minutes of your life trying to get a woman to put a ribbon on you.
And then I played this game.
And in like an angry, in an angry way. Anytime I'm stuck on something in any video game, I go, okay, should I actually try for another hour at this thing? Because then that's going to be true about my life, is how long I spent
doing
this thing.
Aaron, I think that's a great tip and trick for gamers is if you verbalize it out loud, if you audibly say, I have spent 45 minutes trying to get a woman to put a little red bow on me as a goose, that will make me walk away. Because when it's in your head, you're like, this ain't so bad. This is normal.
I'm playing a video game. The story you tell yourself is that you're playing a video game.
Yes.
And I want to encourage you to go, the story that you should tell yourself is you keep taking the pool ladder out of the pool to watch people die. And
you guys saying this is putting this so much in perspective for me. Because literally, I spent, what was it? I was trying to get a man to fall on his bum. And I was only the old man, but I didn't know who was an old man. So I was trying to get the wrong guy to fall on his bum, and he kept falling forward. It was like the burly guy, and I kept tying his shoes or untying his shoes, and he would chase me and fall forward. And I was like, how do I get this guy to fall backwards? Then I realized, it's a different guy. So I spent maybe 10 minutes trying to get the wrong guy to fall. And then I figured out very easily, there's a guy sitting on a stool. You just pull the stool out and he falls. That's the right guy to make fall. And maybe 10 minutes is what I spent on that. And I was like, this is nothing. Because yesterday, I spent 45 minutes trying to kill a cave bear and dying over and over and over and over again. So 10 minutes on a man with a bum and a stool? I could do that all day, baby. That's nothing to me. That slides right off of my little
like
goose back.
Water off a goose back. There's a moment, I think my favorite level was the quote-unquote second level. I don't think there's really levels, but there is the one with the kid with the glasses that scares easily. And there was something on the checklist that said, like, get on TV. And so in my head, I was like, I have to get on TV, so I have to like do something that's super disruptive. So
the news crew will rush in and they'll be like, film this goose.
So I scared that kid to where he went into a phone booth and called someone, and I'm like, awesome, he's calling the cops. And I literally thought in my brain, I was like, there's going to be like choppers and like a news crew. And so I was like, this is how I get on camera. So I trapped him in the phone booth and kept honking and honking and honking, hoping a camera crew would come. And then after like 15 minutes of not knowing why that didn't work, just to the right, there's a TV video store. And I'm like, I see. I'm supposed to go in there.
I do
you
like it because
harassed a child for 15 minutes.
Getting the child into the
phone booth
into
was,
the phone
was
booth
one of the things.
Is an objective. So you got the objective and you're like, there's more.
And you're like, you know what? He got off a little too easy, this kid. Honk, honk.
So just honking wasn't working. So I was like, maybe if I flap my wings and honk, that'll alert the authorities. Like it was very,
When
very
you play this game, after you beat it, you get like a New Game Plus mode where it's like, here's some more stuff to do, like more tasks. And one of the tasks is make that little boy fall in the puddle. And it's, first of all, so easy to make that boy fall in the puddle. But when there are two geese, that little boy is getting destroyed. Like the little boy that doesn't like geese, when there's two of them, I felt bad for that kid. But I still took his glasses and threw him in the fucking puddle.
You have to. It's on your
sure.
list.
It's on my list.
It's on your list from God.
Can I ask a quick sidebar question?
Yes.
In terms of like gentleness and games that feel like this, what are some of the other games that this reminded you of?
This kind of reminds me, it's not a one-to-one, but in terms of like the vibe, I do feel like it's somewhat like Katamari Damacy. Have you ever played that, Aaron?
No.
I think Aaron, this would be your new favorite game of all time.
Yeah.
So what it is you're a little alien prince. And your big old king
father. See, I just had another one of those moments where I went, oh, that's better.
That's better.
Ooh, this is a better fit for me.
And your big old king father sends you to Earth to roll
up
everything.
He's the king of the cosmos. He's the king of the cosmos.
And he has a wonderful voice. And he tells you to like roll up everything into a big ball. So the whole game is different levels. And you start as a little tiny alien. And you start with like a wad of gum. And as you roll it, you pick up like thumbtacks, and that makes your ball grow a little bigger. And then you can pick up pencils and erasers, and that makes your ball a little bigger. And then you can pick up trash cans and pigs and dogs, and that makes your ball a little bigger. And then you can pick up cars and buildings and boats, and that makes your ball bigger. And so you're basically trying to roll up anything that's the same size as your ball. If it's too big, you can't collect it. It is, I think they did three versions of the game. It is the most satisfying game you'll ever play. And it's maybe the best soundtrack in a video game of all time.
I'm going to play it today. I've never been more convinced of anything.
You will love it. That and Donut Hole County? I feel like the Goose Game reminds me of those two games.
That's interesting because I wasn't getting Katamari vibes from it, but now that you're saying that, I think that that's true.
Yeah, just in terms of like it's softer art.
Yeah.
There's music. It's very, there's not like bosses or there's not like, you just kind of do what you want at any time. It's kind of off rails, but in a way that's like calming and pleasant and fun versus like stressful.
I think the best version of that game or the newest version of that game is Katamari Damacy Reroll. I believe it's what it's called. I just played that a couple of years ago and it was fan-fucking-tastic.
So good.
But I think you would want a controller. I don't think I would play that on my computer. I think I would need a controller to play that.
I think they have it on Switch, Aaron, which.
Because the gentle, I wanted to ask you guys that because the vibe of this is I was like, ooh, this is what I need this.
It's
this doesn't
gentle,
have like a sinister feeling to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the goose is definitely an evil little goose.
He's a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
He's a total asshole. But the game is very gentle. Like the color palette is very gentle. The controls are pretty like rudimentary, pretty basic. It's pretty linear. It's got like an open world feel, but it's like you're in each little biome before you move on to like the next one. Yeah, I don't know what games it kind of reminds you of because this game is also pretty short. I mean, unless you spend 4.5 hours like trying to
harassing
do
a kid in a
Okay, I'm sorry.
but in general, I think it's like a 3-ish hour game. So yeah, I feel like a game like this is like, I don't know, I you can play it, beat it, and then be like, huh, that was a fun game. I probably never have to play it again, but it was a very fun, like, you know, thing to do. I don't really know what other games it reminds me of, because I tend to play, like, I don't know, longer games. Mm-hmm. So I'm having trouble thinking of a game that this really reminds me of.
I thought it was very similar to BioShock. In that, it is played on a video game system.
Yeah.
Aaron, you should also look up Donut Hole County. It's a game, it's almost similar to Katamari, where you're like a little raccoon or something, and you have a little hole, and the more stuff you put into the bigger the hole gets.
Let me ask you guys this. Were there any parts of this game that, like, because I think that there is some, like, funny aspects to this game. Were there any parts of this game that you found especially funny?
I mean, trying to get an old man to fall on his bum is going to be hard to beat. But I think, go ahead.
Oh, please.
No, I just think the movement of it, the goose.
Yeah, he's
is
so
like
silly.
So silly. Mm-hmm. And like, they could make it a little bit more straightforward, but it really feels like sort of like old Looney Tune cartoons, like very much like old Saturday morning cartoons, sort of silliness in the animation of it, which I thought was really, really cool.
It's funny when he has to run, someone's chasing him and he has to run away, because he can run kind of fast in a straight line, but he can't really turn very well.
Yeah.
So he's just like, he does
wide
not take turns.
Turns.
Yeah, it's very... there was a part, as soon as we started two-player mode, the instant amount of chaos from two geese like picking things up and throwing things around made me guffaw laughing. I was so into how chaotic that was.
Yeah, I feel like that would be so funny to be a goose with your friend, because it's just even sillier.
One of the funniest parts for me was I couldn't figure out, there's in the first like little level, you have to get the farmer to put on his sun hat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't figure out how to get his other hat off. I like, tried getting him wet, but he was like, not like with the sprinkler. I was like, he's not taking this hat off. And then I realized there's another like little quest, little task for make him hit his thumb with the hammer. And so he's putting up this like no geese sign, and he's like pulling the hammer back. And if you honk, he hits his thumb, and then he falls down. So I got behind him after he had done that, and waited till he fell down after he hit his head, hit his like thumb, and then I stole his hat. And I was like, I'm just fucking this guy up. Like, but it took me a couple times before I actually stole his hat. So I basically just made him hit his thumb like three times in a row and then took his hat. I was laughing pretty hard. It was a pretty funny thing to do to that man.
I think the two funniest things for me are, one, the first time you drag something is very funny. Like,
oh, yeah.
When you bite something and because it's too big to carry, you have to drag it. I guess three things. When you drag something, the physicality is hilarious. When you fight that woman with her, she has like a push broom.
And you
bite onto it and you're in like a tug of war with her is so funny. Because I'm like, if that happened to me in real life, I'd be like, this is the funniest thing that ever happened to me, is a goose is trying to pull away my push broom. And then also my third favorite moment was the guy in the garden who's drinking tea with his back against a gong.
Yeah.
And at some point, it's like one of the tasks is to make the man spit out his tea. And at first, I would honk whenever he took a sip and it wasn't doing anything. And then I found my way into his neighbor's yard. And I'm like, oh, she has a gong that's directly behind him.
Yeah.
This can't go wrong. And so that was very satisfying.
The second one that you mentioned, the woman with the push broom, when you lock that woman in her own garage as a goose, I laughed at that too. I was like, it's the most Looney Tunes shit of you throwing a carrot into her garage and then locking her in there.
It would be funny to play the game from the townspeople's perspective. And it's just straight up horror of like, this goose is terrorizing us all.
It's like the birds, but
yes.
One goose.
The bird.
The bird. I think, like, when you were talking about like the tug of war moment and anything where you're dragging anything, I was like thinking about what other animals they must have tested. Like, they had to have known that a goose is so funny in the way that it moves, and mm-hmm. just generally that I'm like, how did they know that it would be so funny, or what else did they test? I wonder.
Well, I think it's also like so fitting because geese are mean. Like,
oh yeah.
I've been bit by a goose.
Yeah, because they're mean. They're like they're like territorial, and they'll like flap their wings at you and get. I remember my great grandma's like nursing home. There was always geese in the parking lot, and we were kids when we would like go there. And the geese were so fucking mean and so aggressive. I was like, there's like just old people around. Like, these geese are like, they're like, we don't fuck with these old people. We'll do whatever we want.
They hiss. It's terrifying.
Yeah,
they're like they turn into like dinosaurs. I hate it.
The The thing that I did really enjoy about this game too is, I mean, it's very simple, but I really loved the concept of it would give you the to-do, it would tell you the result, and they were like, go forth and figure out how to get this result. That to me is like a very satisfying puzzle, because it feels like I know exactly what I'm trying to accomplish, and now it's just up to me to like put the pieces together and accomplish it. And there were some that were very that I found very hard, because it's like, it doesn't tell you what to do. It just tells you like, figure this out. And like there's one, I think it's in the third biome, where you have to put a bunch of stuff on a table, but the goose can't get up onto all the tables. There's tables everywhere. It took me so long to figure out, oh, there's like a small thing that is kind of a table in a different area that is what I'm supposed to use. But it made me like some of the ones that were like there was also one that was like drop a bucket on the man's head, and I was like, I know where the bucket is and I know the man that I'm supposed to drop it on, and that was really satisfying to solve, because you have to do a lot of things to get the bucket onto his head, and it was that I really, really enjoyed about this game.
Yeah, what was the game that we played for Review Crew? Like, give me motion.
Superliminal.
Superliminal. The games like that. Like what you're saying, that you don't know what you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
First of all, you don't know how to do it, and you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Can be a little bit like shitty on your nervous system, because you're like, okay, I don't know what to do, how, when, where, why. And the to-do list, even if it doesn't give you explicit instructions, you have to find like think of six different ways to do it. It at least doesn't make you feel like, okay, I'm in this open world and I'm supposed to fucking figure out who I'm supposed to be in this space. Like, it's just not as fun, I don't think.
And also some of them were so like funny in their simplicity. Like one of the to-dos is just rake in the lake. And it's like, yep, I know how to do that.
Another one that made me laugh really hard. I was like, why?
Yeah.
Why though? Goose, come here. Yeah. Come here. Why?
What are you doing?
Rake in the lake?
Rake in the lake.
In the first level, when you have to put everything on that picnic blanket, every time I took anything, the human would immediately come find me and take it back.
Oh, yeah.
So I start to take it into the lake, because he'll only go so far.
Yeah, he's
and then take it back to the beginning level where that bike is, like when you first are like born. I would just hoard everything back there, wait till he lost interest, and then bring it back across the lake.
He took it so far away.
which took so much time. I feel like the humans, there was, I think the second level, there's the hardest thing I think to figure out was make somebody buy back something they already own. And I was like, I don't know what that means. Like, how do I collect money from someone? And then I figured out you have to put that boy's toy
in the shop,
back into the shop, and then the woman will think he's stealing it and charge him again. But every time I put the toy in her store, it would show her brain, and she'd be like, "Where's my leeks?" And so she'd go find a leak, and then the boy would just take his toy back. So, or she'd try and fight me or something. It was just so. I loved it, but it was also like, you have to get it exactly right, or else you just drive yourself insane.
There's a very specific like order, because mm-hmm. they'll like without saying, like a little pop up will pop over a person's head with the thing that they're interested in. So if she's like, I'm gonna go look at my leak, she won't be paying attention to the other shit that you're doing or is happening. Yeah,
the feeling though, the moments when you're trying to like steal something or do something in front of one of the humans without them noticing gave me very much those capture the flag feelings and that little bit of adrenaline in your body, like when you're grabbing the keys and he's chasing you, like that spike of that was, I think, a really fun part of the game where you have to sort of just like the sneaky snookiness of it.
Yeah, like being a little slow goose who's just kind of like waddling very slowly and sinisterly. For me, a lot of also the fun of it was getting really into this goose character, because I knew as soon as I was playing this that the goose didn't want any of these things. The goose just wanted to fuck with people. So as me playing as the goose...
Are you sure he didn't want the rake in the lake? He wanted that desperately.
I think what I was having fun with was taking like, I took that man's slipper and I was like, hey man, fuck your slipper. Stay mad about this slipper. This slipper's going in the water, motherfucker. And just like talking shit to this guy.
Or
I talked so much shit to the woman who was working in the bar, who kept finding me, kept coming after me. And I was just talking mad shit to that lady. I was like, fuck your fork, fuck your toy boat, fuck your whole bar. I break your glasses. Shut up.
What do you think? I feel like after this game, something really bad happens to the goose. Like, they definitely, like, animal control shows up. That goose is, like, being sent away.
The final level, there's a secret, I looked this up, there's a secret, and I watched it on YouTube. There's a kind of a secret bonus level. When you complete all the add-ons, what happens is you're transported back into Dickensian times, Christmas Eve, and you are hung in a window, and a little boy is tossed some money to go buy you.
And I get it.
It's what you deserve.
It's what you deserve. You've been terrorizing a whole little village.
Mm-hmm. So y'all did not. So you didn't get to the end, but did you guys watch the ending of the game?
I watched it.
Aaron watched it.
I did not. No.
So after that third level, maybe it's the fourth level. Either way, you unlock going into this little like miniature village. So it's like a toy village or whatever, you know, full of little miniatures. So you get to run around that little village as the goose, and you're like fucking Godzilla because it's, you know, a little miniature village. That was so fun to just like pick up little dolls and throw them and flap my wings. But then you only have one mission in that village, which is get the shiny bell. And you go over to like a miniature bell tower that's like three stories, but it's, you know, miniature. And you as the goose just fucking destroy this tower. You just peck at it, then pull a support beam out and the whole fucking thing crumbles. And then you have to grab that shiny bell and take it back through all the levels that you've already been to.
Oh, shit.
And everybody's on high goose alert because they hate you because you fucked everything up. And you're carrying a bell, which if you move too fast, jangles around so that they come to you.
Yeah.
That is a very fun part of the game.
That's why. Yeah. Are you timed at all or is it just?
Nope. No, you can take your time. You can be sneaky. You can drop the bell, go fuck up other things and like make people go and search for them, pick up the bell and continue on. But if anyone catches you, they just grab the bell and like put it. They don't put it all the way back. They like put it on a table or something.
I got to keep playing. I think I just got so frustrated that I had to stop, but it's worth it to go back.
This is spoilers for the ending, but the objective for that last mission is to take that bell and put it back where you started. And I didn't. I played it like the first half at night, and then I played the second half like the next morning. So I did the ending at the morning in the morning, and I forgot where I had started. So I was like kind of backtracking to where I went. But then you have to drop the bell in this little ravine right by where you started that you can see at the beginning of the game, and the ravine is just full of gold bells. So
like you've been doing that the whole time.
The goose has done this before, and
he has an MO.
Yeah, he's done it like 12 times. And when I got back there, I laughed so hard at all of those bells in the ravine because I was like, everyone in that town knows this goose. This goose is like, this goose is the possessed spirit of like the old banker who like died.
Like John Wayne Gacy.
I thought that was a really funny button to see that there was that whole pile of bells that he just had to like drop it into. It's also, it reminds me of this bit, speaking of Harrison Lott, that Harrison used to do where he would, so I'm going to do such a bad job explaining this, but he was just like a man eating pudding. It's like he starts his day and he is trying to open a thing of pudding and he can't open it. And so it explodes all over himself. And he's like sighs. And then he goes to put on another shirt. And the other shirt has an identical pudding stain on it. Of just like, this happens to this man at his entire life, is spilling pudding on himself every single morning. And I was like, that's such a funny thing to have that bell thing be at the end of the game, because you go, oh, this goose does these tasks every day.
It's a cycle. Yeah, it's a cycle.
Wakes up, ruins a little church, grabs this shiny bell and throws it in the dirt. It's also like, it's like second Batman movie, the one with the Joker in it, the Christian Bale one.
Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah, Dark Knight Rises, where Michael Caine is giving that speech about the guy, the some men just want to see the world burn. The guy who's like robbing jewelers of their caravan, and then they go to the jungle and they just find all the jewels like in the ashes. Like, that's what this goose is doing. He's taking that shiny bell to throw it in the fucking dirt with the other bells. He doesn't care. It's just about the take.
Yeah, it's not about the precious metal. It's about depriving others of happiness. I would like to, if possible.
Yeah,
I would like to see a bit of a scene. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So JPC, you are the untitled goose.
Okay.
You do stand trial. Aaron, you are the so JPC, you're a goose defending itself. Aaron, you are the prosecution, and I'll be the judge. And we're just trying to convict this goose of terrorizing a city. Order, order, order in the court. Mr. Goose, you have not given us your legal name. You are still listed as untitled. Can you please state for the court your first and last name?
I would like to plead the fifth.
Okay, and the
Goose
fifth...
Amendment. Okay. To my Goosetution, which says, I don't gotta give you my fucking name.
Okay, and if I look at your list here that we found on your person...
That, first of all, that was found on my... By the way, I take offense to person. That was found on my goose.
Okay.
I am not stating, for the record, that is my list.
Okay.
I was holding it.
Are you implying that you did not break the dartboard?
I mean, call a witness. Who are you gonna call? That old-ass man is a liar who can't find his stool or his harmonica. So, if you put him on the stand, I will rip him apart and cross.
Mr. Goose, there is a young man in town
Hunk.
Who has not stopped crying since you harassed him for 15 minutes while he was stuck in a phone booth.
Okay, first of all, show me on camera where I harassed that boy.
Here it
second
is.
Of all... Second of all, okay, well, that...
The prosecution does have video evidence of you on camera running around.
Your Honor, take a look at this boy. Take a look at this boy. Long-ass shoelaces, big Coke bottle glasses. Come on. Come on. You
just
put a boy like that in front
nerd,
of a goose like me.
Your Honor.
Her words. Her words, not mine.
If it pleases the court, I did used to look just like that boy, and that boy is my son, so... I do want to go back.
The judge is saying if it pleases the court.
I do want to go back. Order in the court. I do want to go back to when you said you'd plead the fifth. To look at the fifth thing on your list, it does say, bite the judge in the dick. Now, can you explain yourself in this list?
I mean, again, I'm not, Hunk, I'm not saying that this is my list. But on the other hand, judge... It looks like somebody dropped a couple of raspberries over there.
Oh, well,
Your Honor, he's trying to bite your dick,
up.
Your Honor.
No,
Your Honor, he only appeared in court today in order to check that off of his list. I have reason to believe. Are you telling me? I'm standing up and making a whole meal of this. Making really going for
Please
it.
Note that the prosecution is standing up.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. Thank you. This morning, people of the town, did you wake up? With a rake in the lake?
I did. I did. Yes, I did too.
Yeah, my rake was in the lake as well.
Do you think that rake wouldn't be in said lake if this goose didn't exist and didn't decide to terrorize our town? Which is why I am pursuing the death penalty, Your Honor. Put this goose down in a public display.
Put
so
the goose
our
down.
Town.
Goose down.
Oh, goose down.
Goose down.
You can't laugh at that too, Goose. You shouldn't be laughing, Goose.
Hold on, I'm not a goose. I'm a different man. From
you
the
are.
Town.
I saw you put a fake mustache on, Goose. We could tell that you are Goose.
Hunk, cross off list. Put a fake mustache
no!
on.
No.
Please note, if it pleases the court, the man with the mustache was the goose the whole time. If it pleases the court. Does it please the court? Does everyone hate me?
Judge, you're actually not supposed to ask us permission for things.
Sorry, I'm a court pleaser. I just have to please the court constantly. If it pleases the court, I can step down and take
No, you're great, you're great. Just don't move because he will try to bite you in the dick.
Let me ask you a question. People of the court, jury, judge, other lawyer.
He's wearing an Atticus Fish. He's wearing
Atticus
an Atticus Finch. Fish.
No,
suit.
It is Atticus Finch.
He's wearing an Atticus Fish suit all of a sudden.
Before I moved to the town and ate Atticus Fish, the town lawyer.
He's playing guitar while on a trampoline with Trey Anastasio. It's Atticus Fish.
Tell me, what was your routine like? You would kind of wander about aimlessly. Sure, you'd brush away your store, or you'd sip your tea, or you'd do your little lawn care routine. But that was it.
A peaceful life.
Yes, peaceful life.
What did I do? I came to town as the goose, and I brought chaos. I brought excitement. I brought interest. And suddenly, every one of you is against me, the goose. That's right. I gave you the gift of community. You there, bald man with slippers. Would you have ever talked to the woman across your hedge, if it hadn't been for me, the goose?
No, and I ended up marrying that woman.
Exactly.
Thank you, goose.
And you, burly man who guards the bar.
Yeah.
I'm
just trying to have some fun here.
Pass on you.
Never mind. I have something to say to the goose. My name is Mr. Maguire. My wife was Mrs. Maguire. I found her dead 2 weeks ago, locked in the garage. She tried to back the car out of the garage, but ended up killing herself from the fumes. She couldn't get out. And this goose was the one who locked her in. My sweet Maggie.
Kill the goose.
Kill the goose. Eat the goose.
Goose, you. Why are you chanting eat the goose?
It's on my list.
Scene.
It's on my list.
I would love if one, the final item on the goose's list at the end of the game was like, get killed, cooked, and eaten. Yeah.
The goose has real J.P. Riddle's sidekick vibes.
Yeah.
That's,
now
yeah,
goose goes over and just grab random things, shit to steal from that farmer and throw it right in the lake.
I'm in a flashback. I'll do whatever I want. Here's what I want to propose to the two of you and to all of our listeners. If you have someone in your life that maybe you live with or a partner or something, or even if it's just yourself, you can do this for yourself the night before you wake up.
What, can this be a roommate?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
You're going to make each other lists of the day. These are going to be called goose lists. And so what you're going to do is you're going to put five items on a list, and the person has to achieve that during that day. And if they do, maybe you buy them dinner or something, or maybe there's a bed, or even it's just a little kiss or something. But you give your partner a list and you say, you have to accomplish these five things.
Are they chaotic? Are they things like rake in the lake?
Yeah, yes. They're chaotic, but it's nothing that would ever put anyone else in danger.
Honestly, Adel, here's what you do. Mm-hmm. First of all, we delete this out of the episode because this idea is too good for free. What you do is this is like the new Wordle. Where it's every day, it's like a website that populates like a 3 or 5 item task list. Yeah. For everybody, it's the same task list, and then you have to like complete those tasks in order that day.
Yep, I love it.
God, I would love that.
I think they have to be chaos, though.
I think like one of them is like do a spit take that hits somebody.
Oh yeah.
Perfect.
So many people getting fired that day.
Yeah. I would love to do that because honestly, if it's a spit take, you can play it off like the other person kind of made you do it.
Yeah.
You just have to be like drinking and then. Find something funny that someone says. So in my life, I'm laughing all the time. So it would not be that hard to do a spin.
Did I do a good job?
Did I do a perfect job?
Was my timing good or was it the middle of a sentence?
And like one of the things is like you have to go into a Walgreens, go up to a stranger and go, Taylor, hey, it's me, Taylor.
I think you have to call your ex from high school and tell them that you still have feelings for them. I think that should be on the list. That's chaos. They're like, from you, my girlfriend from 15 years ago?
You should, one of the things you should do, especially if you're living with someone, is you should tell the person that you're living with, you're like, hey, this is super embarrassing, but I clogged the toilet and I truly don't know like how to fix it and I don't know what to do. And then have them go in and look at it and then take like a cooked chicken leg and just throw just a cooked chicken leg in the toilet, not clogged at all, and just have that in there. And so they're like, what? I'm like, I don't know. Can you help me?
What about a bunch of Legos? Just pour a ton of Legos.
You're right. It could be whatever you want.
A bunch of Legos and 5 pounds of Nerds.
An uncooked egg. Crack an egg into your toilet bowl, and then be like, I don't know. I clogged it.
Here's also another thing for a different day. You put a hard-boiled egg in the toilet, and then you grab your significant other and say, I just had the weirdest poop. Will you come look at it?
First of all, I can't. I don't know. Will you come look at it is the worst ask.
Are you a kid? Are you 3?
Will you come look at... Watch me get, throw your keys in the pool and I'll retrieve them.
First of all, every guy should have a group chat of people that they can send this picture of a poop to.
Oh, of course.
That's just your poop chat. Send that poop chat right to the poop chat. I actually love this list game for real life. I love the chaos that it can inspire.
I think we call it chaotic days. Days with a Z, of course, because that's the most chaotic.
Of course.
So pick up, we will be selling copies of Chaotic Days on our...
Well, can I propose something?
Tumblr? What?
Tumblr? Yes. Yeah,
for
Tumblr.
Maybe our next review crew or a review crew down the line, we each make the other person, like, in a circle, a list, and we do, for 3 days...
Adel's shaking his head no the entire time Aaron's talking.
You get a 3-thing list for 3 days. We each get a list, and you have to do the thing, and then we review it.
Aaron, I'm 100% up for this. I 100%
will not be. Why are you shaking your head?
I will 100% not be on the receiving end of JVC's list.
Because I'll do it.
It's going to be like,
it.
Kiss your cousin.
First of all, listen.
Eat a bridge.
The only people that these lists are hurting are Jim and Sean and Mariah. Those are the only people who will suffer from whatever these lists are. We should do them. We should do them on the next Hey Riddle Riddle live stream, and then do them before the live stream, and then compare notes.
Yes.
As to
okay.
What
that's what we'll do.
Okay.
Oh, and we forgot to mention the only thing you can say while you're trying to achieve this list is honk.
Yeah, honk. You have to say honk. If you've achieved it.
Aaron, I'm going to start. If someone cuts me off in traffic or something, I'm going to be like, hey, eat a bridge.
Hey, eat a bridge.
Eat a bridge, yeah. Motherfucker.
Oh, you guys, I really stood up for myself. And by stood up for myself is I acted with rage towards a human man.
Details.
So I was walking down the street. I was going to run an errand. And I got to this crosswalk. Yes, exactly. That had a light at it. And I had my walk sign, which means I get to go, and I have the right of way, because it's the little white walk sign.
Aaron carries a walk sign with her.
And I'm going, and this guy who wants to turn in the direction that I'm walking across, like, zooms up to me, stops, because he was looking down at his phone, and then didn't see me, and just thought he could take a turn in that moment, and then zooms, stops, and then he yells at me, and then I turn, and I look him dead on, and I just, for like... until it was over, stared at the walk sign. And I went...
the walk sign?
That
like,
is outstanding, sir.
Oh, it's so weird. And he kept being like, ugh. He was doing like the little like guy losing confidence thing where he's like rolling his eyes.
It's like,
being
you're
like,
not supposed to fight back.
Oh,
I guess
no,
I'm
actually,
wrong.
Yeah, I'm standing by. I actually am going to die on this hill. And just like a...
how dare you rub my nose on my actions? That is outstanding.
Like he's a little kid being like, uh-oh, did we not see it? And I didn't feel great after that moment, though. It wasn't very satisfying.
You should feel great. You should have started posing like Abbey Road or something. Like,
yeah,
start
just like
doing,
yeah. doing bits. Do the little like elevator thing and go
take
down.
Take off your shoes.
Yeah.
I felt great the other day, and I'm going to be very careful with how I say this, but sometimes people run stop signs in my neighborhood, and I walk my dog a lot. And a man, and it's always the people in a truck that's like super high off the ground, right? That's like not looking at a pedestrian. And an old man in a truck ran a stop sign, but he ran as I was walking. I was like, oh, this motherfucker, I knew he was not going to stop. He wasn't looking at me. He just was rolling through the stop sign. And as he was rolling through the stop sign, he looked at me and gave me like a little wave, like, oh, hey. And I'm like, no, like you're almost hit me with your fucking truck. And he was an old man driving this humongous truck. And it just so happens that the back of his truck had a huge dent in it after I walked away. Now, I am not admitting to doing anything. I think it's karma. I think it's karma that man's truck has a huge dent in it.
What did you do?
When his truck, when whatever tree branch fell and hit his truck and dented it, was he still in it?
Oh, yeah. He was driving. He was driving away after he gave me that little wave.
Did he stop and try and yell at the tree?
No. The old man who almost hit me and my dog by rolling through a stop sign didn't say shit. He just kind of left.
What'd you do?
And he had a big dent in his truck. Who knows?
Did you kill this man?
I didn't do anything
did
to this
guy. Did you kill the truck?
I didn't
what did
even
you
touch
do to the
them.
Truck? What did you throw?
No. I don't. I don't understand the question.
We're back in court.
The story that I'm telling you is that the guy's truck already had the dent in it, even though he did the bad thing.
Do you really want to go to Goose Court right now? That poor judge is so insecure.
One of my biggest pet peeves, for sure, is the people who like buy a truck who do not need a truck. Like, I think there's also like some sort of like tax credit that you can get for having a truck that's so big that it's a work truck. And so many people buy a truck that is unreasonably big, that sits so far up the ground that, I mean, these things are straight up pedestrian killers. That's what they are, because you cannot see people on the ground when you're driving one of these. And this was like an old ass dude. I'm like, you're not using this truck. You're not loading shit into this truck.
You're not going camping every weekend.
You don't need it.
I grew up in like a rural area for most of my life. And it's like, my friends had trucks. Their parents had trucks. They used trucks. But when I'm in Chicago and I see somebody with like an F-150 or what are the Ford F-150?
Yeah, like, there's like the 350s that are even bigger.
Not a scratch on it. nothing's been in the bed of that truck other than IKEA furniture. Like, it is kind of like wild of like, what did you get a truck for when a sedan would fit the city so much better?
Yeah, I mean, my dad works construction, so he had trucks, but he, I mean, his trucks were always full of like his, that's what trucks are for. They're like for work trucks.
For hauling stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but it irks me to no end the people that just use them as, you know, use them, cruise through stop signs, and basically are just like piloting pedestrian killing devices. Ugh. Trucks.
It's weird that you don't, like, people don't have, I think that you should have special permission for stuff like that.
Yeah, that's wild.
I think you should have to get special permission to roll through stop signs.
Yeah.
I think if you get it from,
you get a note
like,
from a teacher?
Yeah, if you get a note from the governor that's like, actually, Chris doesn't have to do stop signs because Chris is really in a hurry.
He's really busy right now, you guys.
Give a break. What if there's a little game called Untitled Truck Game and you're just a tiny little truck? Or what if the goose, what if an Untitled Goose Game, you could drive a little truck?
Oh my God. The goose just gets in a truck.
A little goose-sized truck.
Can I say something about road rage really quick?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was talking the other day about how I love being in a car with a guy who's driving and he experiences road rage because I get to see him experience the audacity of men.
Oh, yeah.
Like, men treat cars like they're women. Men treat other cars like they're women. And for men to go like, could you believe that this person treated me like they are this much more important than me? And I'm like, yeah, that's what it is.
Men treat cars like they're women.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Which is why I'm only inside a car for 3 minutes at a time.
But that them moving through the space like that is like exactly how they move through the world. And men don't treat other men like that when they know it's a guy. But
sure.
When they think you're a woman, you're like, he's cutting me off. He's being a jerk. He's on his phone and he cut me off. It's like, yeah, he thought you were a woman. Welcome.
Oh my God. That is a pretty succinct analysis of road rage.
Anytime you feel road rage, just know that you're experiencing what it's like to be a woman every day.
Aaron, are there any more things in life that men can experience that is what it's like to be a woman every day?
Because I
don't get a lot of road rage. But I am interested in knowing what else I can experience.
I think the only other one that's on top of mind, I will make a list for you, but
oh,
I think the only other one that comes top of mind is if you're waiting in a really long line and you've watched someone wait in that really long line too, but they get up to the front and they are wishy-washy and take a really long time.
Got it.
Like a guy's in line with you and then he's experienced how frustrating it is when people don't know what they want to order or something.
Yeah.
And he does that same thing. That kind of rage, I think, is a good one-to-one as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've definitely experienced that. I've experienced that where someone gets to the front of the line and then they take out a piece of paper and I'm like, oh, good. This will go quick because they got it on a paper. It's probably a big order, but it's all written down. And then they're like, And they're like, I'm like, what is on the paper?
It's like, if you're considering what this is, my tic-tac-toe game.
Does the paper just have every option on it? And you're up here and being like, "Wow, I'd just like to look at it in my own free hand before I decide."
I went the other day. There's a place, Kaufman's Deli. It's in Skokie, I think.
Oh yeah,
but it's this wonderful Jewish deli that has fantastic bagels and cookies and pastries and corned beef and everything. But I went there the other day with Gemma, and I didn't know what I wanted, so I was kind of standing way off to the side. Like, I clearly was not in line, but I was off to the side and I was kind of looking over the menu, and a guy walked up and he goes, are you in line? And I go, I'm still deciding what I want. And he said, oh, okay. And then he walked up right in front of the register, and then he stood there and looked at the menu, and the employee said, are you ready, sir? And he goes, no, I'm looking, I'm trying to decide. And then I was ready, but he had swooped into the you know what I'm talking about?
Like, yeah, 100%.
He had swooped into the order spot, and so now I'm ready, but I'm waiting on him to decide because he took advantage of my generosity of, like, I'm not going to stand in line when I don't know what I want. And I was like,
yeah.
And so I had to wait 2 minutes for him to figure it out before I could order, and I'm like, I should have just stood there, but then I'm like, I don't know how to act in society.
Yeah, line rules. Everybody has different ideas of what is appropriate in a line or like in a
walking,
like sharing a sidewalk. It's so funny.
When you walk
funny.
Out of a store and people are walking like right, and you walk out of a store and you don't even look at who could possibly be
Insane.
Walking by in that moment,
Insanity.
And you stand still.
No.
You go, I'm going to walk out of a store,
Insane.
Not look to my left, and stand still.
Insane. At the airport, that happens with, like, escalators. People get to the top of an escalator and stay put because they're on their phone. And it's like, There's 40 people behind you coming up, my man. You gotta move.
If you were in a walking lane and you stand still and then you're surprised that all of a sudden I'm up on you, what are you doing?
If you, okay, I was single for many years. Here's JPC's single piece of advice to everyone. Yes. Go, this takes a little bit of work. You need to go get a business card printed up. That identifies you as some sort of dance instructor. When you are, get that printed up, keep a few on you at all times. When you're in a public place, grocery store, and you're going towards someone and you can tell that they're going to like move to the left or the right, anticipate which way they're going to move the same way, then move the opposite way, then move the opposite way and be like, oh, so sorry. Hey, we're doing a little dance. And then say that line. It's a pleasant interaction. And go, actually, you're really good at dancing. I'm a dance teacher. If you ever want to take it up professionally, I think you could be really great.
Mm-hmm. And then the back of the card says, fuck you, learn how to walk.
Eat a bridge. I think you can also, whenever you're out in public, here's Adel's little tip. Whenever you're out in public, always be chewing gum. Always, always have gum in your mouth.
ABC.
And then... And then if there's ever someone stopped where they're like, they go through like a subway turnstile and they stop right in front of it because they're on their phone and they're not moving, mm-hmm. take out your gum and stick it to their face.
Right.
And when they go, what the hell? Go, I'm so sorry. I thought you were a statue.
Yes. I'm so sorry. I thought you were a statue. Gets you out of almost every situation.
And my hot tip is if someone is so blatantly not regarding any walking traffic and they're stopping and they're just in their own little world and they don't give a shit about other people, just look at them and sincerely go, oh, are you okay? I've done that a couple times.
Pretty good.
I think it is so telling that we ended our discussion of Untitled Goose Game with how to be a dick to people in real life.
Yeah, exactly. Ta-da!
If you're in a
garden,
that's
what the goose would want.
I'd next time somebody's going to grab their keys. 8 out of 10.
I'm going to give this game, I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
So, Aaron, you gave it a 7.8. Adel, you gave it a 7. I'm going to go. Let's see. What would be 7.8? 7. I'm going to do an 8.6.
Hmm.
I think that this game is an 8.6. I especially think. I mean, you got to know what you're getting into. If you're trying to play freaking Destiny 2, this isn't really going to scratch that itch. But if you want a little silly game about stealing a farmer's tools and being a little destructive honk machine, Untitled Goose Game is going to be the one for you.
And Aaron, I don't know if you know this, but they're making an Untitled Goose Game 2, and it's actually a goose goes to space. Do you know where the goose goes in space?
Venus?
Phoenix?
Casey?
You think Venus. It goes to Phoenix?
Mercury? Venus. It's Venus. It's Venus, right, Casey? Casey
Bye
knows.
Forever.
Bye. Venus.
It's penis.
Penis.
It's penis.
Guess who's back to give the credits a try? Another show that was hosted by Adel Rifai, Aaron Keefe, JPC, Jake the Snake, and Bill Nye. Wait, no, I'm sorry, those two were lies. Lies. Casey Tony edited the show just for you. Ooh, and Arnie Parrott wrote the theme you're listening to. Ooh, he wrote this extra line that he will not need to use. Oh, well, that was Hey Riddle Riddles. Reviews.